With McDonald's $3 daily deals, you can save big at breakfast every day with a different entree and your choice of coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea 7 days a week. Get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit on Monday, bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles on Wednesday, and Friday, an egg McMuffin made with a fresh cracked egg. Add your choice of coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea, all for just $3. And make your morning routine a little better. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening to you all. Good morning to some and afternoon to others, but a hearty hello and Shabbat Shalom nonetheless. Welcome here to Natsarim Network on this Faithful Friday. It is September 28th, 2018, and we're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, and it's good to be back with you all here this evening on air right here on the Natsarim Network, a network of believers in Christ, Yeshua called Jesus, HaMashiach Nagid. And that is the point of truth from which there is no compromise. It is the top tenet of this network as a whole, and I, Leander Grace, individually, as a matter of my profession of faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the message, a truth so powerful, and who can withstand it? Upon its hearing, folks will either fight and flee or listen and become converted. It is a privilege to walk this road. It's a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of that one thing, diligently contending for the faith. May Holy Spirit continue to guide our battle. The Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the earth, guys. The whole face of the earth is waking up to what it is that is going on, and change is upon us. Within every dimension and layer of change, we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimensions we cannot yet imagine. Not all who are gifted are in and of the light. Remember too, guys, Revelation 14:12 tells us, here is the patience of the saints. It's our tenet verse. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Make no mistake, folks, and do not be deceived. The harlot is in the house and the thief is at the door. This is week two of our series, guys. Week two of our series speaking about the harlot in the house and the thief is at the door. That's going to be a mantra for our programs. We're going to continuously remind folks where we are. But this series, this particular series, is called Patience of the Saints. We can't win this battle alone, folks. And yes, we are not only in a battle, but we are at war. Make no mistake, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As the Judaic Bible would tell us, the complete Judaic Bible, that translates to say not against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So it's not against human beings. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember, too, guys, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast pod, people, we love you, too. Question everything. Cultivate a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. Ooh, I like that. A Berean mind and a seeker's heart. We must seek Him. And of course, guys, one of our other tenet verses, Acts 17:11, tells us that don't believe anything Leander Grace tells you, but search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are true. And I'll tell you guys, some folks, as I've said before, I am not here to tickle your ears. Not everything I say is going to sound good, sound fun. But in fact, a lot of what I say just might make you mad, because when I came across this information, there were times that it made me mad. It made me mad because it challenged my foundation beliefs, and that's all I had. And not everything that I had believed was built on a firm foundation, and we had to take care of that. But I encourage you nonetheless to hang in there and hang out, hang on, and see if we can't pull some of the truths together for this for you, because there is a much bigger picture that has been painted, is being painted, even now, until the return of HaMashiach Nagid. Research what you hear so you can own your own experience on this path. Now are the days for 2 Timothy 2:15 to study yourself, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the only way that we can do that is if we get into the word of truth. We've got to get into what we're supposed to be dividing, right? Well, it makes sense. So new scripture alert, guys. We're going to try to do this every broadcast, bring in a new scripture. You're going to find out that there's a lot of repeat. We're going to repeat ourselves. It's a teaching method that we have. This is a Bible study, a scriptural study, and an in-depth look. So we're going to build upon the premise. The paradigm takes time. And so we're going to have some bits of truth over here and some bits of truth over here. And it is my hope and my prayer that we can bring them together and show you where the dots connect. And I think that once we start working with this pattern, of where the dots connect, it seems to me that when other people, I've had one of my friends tell me, you know, once this that pattern was found, it's like the scripture started opening up and he started getting it. And it didn't read like the Lord of the Rings supernovel anymore. It read like information that we needed to know. So our new scripture alert, our new scripture for today is one that is near and dear to my heart, and it was pressed onto me by some of the folks very near and dear to me on my upbringing, and that is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Ooh, that's a big one. All scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired by God. It's God breathed is what that word means. It's a breath. It's an inspiration. We'll talk a lot. When we get deeper and richer and richer into these topics and into these languages, the language of Hebrew, I think, you know, that you guys are going to be amazed. I was amazed, and I want to share my amazement with you. Whether you're amazed, well, that depends on you. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. So where do we get our instructions? All scripture, right? That's where we get it. That the man of God, and for those of you who are a little bit feministic there, that's the humankind, and if you don't like the word, you have to talk to God because this is the way he wrote it. That the man of God, man of Yahweh Elohim, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. That means, to me, that God may not call the equipped, but he is always going to equip the called. So that's a little thought that we can tag onto that verse. Is God is not always going to call the equipped, but he's going to equip the called. And what is he going to equip it with is what is truth, and that is the scripture. I love it. Now, before all of those so-called, and we're talking about the front of the book and the back of the book, right? Because here are the patience of the saints, those that what keep the commandments of God and have the witness of Yeshua or the faith of Yeshua. So before all the so-called evangelicals get themselves in an uproar and in a twist with their garments, okay, we're going to qualify all of our sources with two or three canonical witnesses. Amen? So if you haven't read the text, you might not know some books are missing from our collection because they're mentioned in other scriptures that they have existed or have been written. And I want to apologize if you guys hear the background noise. We've got a little bit of an emergency going on in the neighborhood. And we'll just go ahead and lift that up in prayer so that all those involved can work efficiently to a good end. And that's what we'll have to do about that. So a movement reminder, guys, we're going to bring a lot of Hebrew scripture, a lot of Hebrew words to this program and show you the lineage of our faith, so to speak. And we're not part of the sacred name movement. There's no Hebrew roots or, you know, Jews for Jesus or holding your mouth just right when you praise the name or whatever. None of that stuff. But I am Messianic, and I'm called Nexarim, and it was in Antioch that the Talmudim were first called Nazarim, that the disciples were first called watchers, or the instructed, the Talmudim, were first called watchers. Once again, bringing your attention to our slideshow there on the screen, I love one of our first slides is the bibliophobia, and that is a fear of having your beliefs shaken with scriptural truth. I love that. And then the way, we'll talk about that. There is only one way. And the sheep, we're going to hit that real heavy tonight, guys. We're going to remind ourselves of who we are not, what's not mentioned in the Bible. And then one of my favorite promises, favorite visions of Ezekiel, we're going to talk about today, and I call it the one stick prophecy. And we're going to hit on Ezekiel 37 tonight. You said, "Whoa, that's pretty heavy. We're going right to the prophecy." Well, that's where the good stuff is, right? That's where the good stuff is. Because what does it say? Here are the patience of the saints, right? Those who have what? The commandment, follow the commandments of God. They keep the commandments. They keep the instructions. They keep the Torah. And the witness or the testimony of Yeshua. And who is it that testified about Yeshua but the prophets? And so if we're going to find out all this instruction stuff, we're going to have to go to it. We'll have to hit the Tanakh. We'll have to hit the Nevi'im. In the Tanakh, and that is the writings of the prophets. And as followers of Yeshua, guys, it is our responsibility alone, nobody else, not the preachers, not the teachers, not your next door neighbor, not your mama. It's our responsibility alone to know the word of Yahweh and what it means. It's not merely enough to be hearers of the word, but to be doers also. And how are we going to know what to do if we don't know what to do? How are we going to do what he says if we don't know what he says? And how are we going to know what he says if we don't go read the word? And we have that. So tonight we're going to continue to lay this groundwork and take an honest look into the contemporary picture of what we have been calling Christian and Christianity and what might be done to correct some things in the picture. Now, last week we talked about the Talmudim and the Netzarim. We brought some big definitions on. We had some vocabulary going on. We talked about Tanakh, what that means. And for those of you who are playing some catch-up, it is the complete works of what the Christians call the Old Testament. I'd say it's the first one. It's the first. We have to remind by that. It's the first. And then, of course, there are the apostolic scriptures as well. And what did the apostolic scriptures use? Except the Tanakh. That's all they had. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John when they were writing it up. Mark didn't have Mark to write from. So where was he pulling from except his experience in showing the fulfillment of prophecy? So tonight, though, what we are going to do is talk about the one-stick promises. So we're going to cover the houses of Judah and Israel. We might finally be able to answer that left-open question of who are the lost sheep, who is Israel, and the faithful remnant. We might be able to get to that. And then later on in the series, we'll talk about the commands and the covenants. We'll talk about them all through the series. We'll touch on them each night, and we'll build on each of the premise, step by step, layer upon layer, precept upon precept, line upon line. And then, of course, we'll talk about the times and the seasons as well. That should bring us just ahead of the anniversary of the Protestant Reformation movement. That's October 31st. And the anniversary of it is 1517, so let's do the math. You guys do the math. I'm going to keep talking, and we'll talk a little more about that as we get closer to the date. So that's what's coming up and how we're going to move forward with it. And we're going to just start putting it out there, folks, because it is time. And as my late mentor Chuck Missler used to always, you know, he truly is a servant of the Most High God, the Most High El. So often repeated, the Old Testament is in the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is in the Old Testament revealed. And we will hit that point again and again and again, and, you know, we'll hit a lot. So let's go ahead and dive in. Today's scriptures, tonight's scriptures are going to be from Ezekiel 37, and we're going to read it through. For those who are most familiar, we're going to read it through first with the King James Version, and then we'll go through when we go through the review of it and do the bullet points, and we'll go ahead and take it out and bring in some of the others. Now, for those of you who want to follow along, if you want to go to open another window, if you're online, open another window and go to BibleGateway.com. And that will show you an interface of where you can pick the different versions and stuff like that. And that's where we're going to pull from. That's where we're going to start from. I have other software open as well. And I'll give you that hopefully on the other side of the break. I'll remember to give you that. But right now, let's go ahead and get to the scripture. And as we move forward, we do ask Holy Spirit to bless this program and have only truth come forward, and that we be not dissuaded from that which is truth, and that we not be so full of ourselves of conceit that we think we have the answers and we forget what it is we are supposed to learn. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. So in Ezekiel 37, And it starts with verse 15. Now, I love this whole chapter. I love all of Ezekiel. I love all of it. So let's go ahead and start out. It's, and now, we're going to take on a couple of verses because it's going to be a picture. And hopefully, I can relay it to you in the way that I see it. We'll see how that goes. So this is Ezekiel saying, and he says, "And the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel and his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And then join one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. And when the children of thy people," and I love the way that's put, "and when the children of thy people shall speak unto me, saying, Wilt thou not show us what it is that thou meanest with these," right? Show us what's you got going on. And in 19 it picks up and says, "Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, thus say Yahweh Elohim, Behold," and I love this, because it says, "Look," right? This is an emphatic look. Pay attention to this. Zero in right here. This is why. In verse 19 is, "Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put with them," or "and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one stick in my hand." I like it. "And the sticks whereupon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and saying to them, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen," "whither they be gone," wherever they're at, right? "And will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." My goodness. Now, this promise has been out there for a very long time, and we're going to see, if we're going to talk about what that promise is about, what this vision is about, what it is. Look here, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And I told you we'll bring two witnesses and we'll move on when we do that. So review of last week, guys. That's our scripture for tonight. And I love it. We might even bring some more of the promises in if we have time. So review of last week, you know, what we did is we're challenging the churches. We're challenging the churches with scripture. We're challenging those false preachers that are out there preaching a different gospel. That's what we did last week. And we used the scripture of Matthew 23:13, and we said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither go ye in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering to go in." And of course, we went right immediately to the Jewish Bible, to the Judaic Bible, but "Woe unto you, hypocritical Torah teachers and teachers of the law." Right? Ooh, that's a little bit different. That's a little bit closer to home. That makes it more personal even to our times. Because if you are teaching scripture, you are a Torah teacher. "For you are shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's faces." And I love that. That's bold. It's a better translation. "Neither entering yourselves nor allowing those who wish to enter to do so." And that is my challenge to the pulpit, folks. Stop teaching preachers, teachers, ministers, all of you, stop teaching hearsay and start teaching the gospel. Stop tickling ears for the cashy monies and start challenging hearts so Holy Spirit can convict and perhaps, just maybe, they can be saved by grace of Yahweh Elohim through faith in Yeshua HaMashiach Nagid, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask daily for assistance and instruction as we move forward in this battle. Because people, all we have is Torah and the blood and faith of Yeshua. But again, all we have is Torah. And within Torah, we learn of the bread and the water and the blood and the faith of Yeshua. So again, we have to understand, hang on, evangelicals. We're going to get to you, we're going to get you caught up to us. All we have is Torah. That's it. Anything else is a different gospel. And I really want to hear people stop preaching a different gospel. And the Talmudim are those that are instructed and follow in the rabbi's footsteps. And so the instructed are called watchmen, the disciples, and the sect led by Paul. Because, folks, we are the watchmen of the Torah. All we have is Torah, the Nazarene. It's the name given to the early church. That was the name given to the early church as spoken by the prophets and the apostles. The first followers of Yeshua were known as the sect called the Nazarene, and they were not accepted by the teachers of Judaism, nor the early Christian church. All we have is Torah. If we did not need Torah, if the law could have been done away with, Christ need not have died. In a preview of where we're going to go after tonight's program, guys, we're going to hit right back into Revelation. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to fight with the remnant of her seed. It fits in. Those guarding the commands of Yahweh, who are those? And possessing the witness of Messiah. Who is that? Who is that? So after all this preview, guys, we got all this, you know, stuff going on, we're a little bit closer to the break than I wanted to be, but it gives me an opportunity to elaborate just a little bit. Because as we go into the first break of the evening, I want to remind folks of the questions that we left dangling last week. And one of them was, do we even know what his name means, meaning Yeshua? We call him Jesus. That's the Greek Jesus. And then they invented a J when? About in the 16th century, 15th century, 16th? That's when the J came along into the language of English. And then the Y, the Jesus, was changed to what we do with the hard J is Jesus, which is actually, you know, a G sound. So having done all that with the language, and there's actually reasons, and we'll get back to it, and you'll start putting these pieces together, these little trinkets, these little crumbs that I'm kind of throwing around, hopefully we'll be able to pick them all up, put them together, and see what the gospel looks like. So one of them was, what do we even know what his name means? And I'm going to tell you, folks, this was a sticking point for me for a long time. You know, what does this name even mean? Because although the scriptures, they say, you know, the name, in the name, say this name, all there's names, there's words, there's all kinds of stuff. So as we go into a break, we'll listen to a selection from Joshua Aaron. He's Judaic by birth and Messianic by choice. And I leave it to him to drop some of the clues. And I think he'll enjoy it. And we're going to go to break just a little bit early because I did want to get a full-length song in here because his words say it all. Now, I am your host, Leanna Grace, and you are listening to the Patience of the Saints. The whole point of our broadcast is the fact that the harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. And we'll be here every Friday evening. We've got to get through this series, then we might take a break. But the series of the Patience of the Saints, because there's confusion and there's chaos in the church, and we don't even know it. We're lukewarm, and we're liable to be spewed out of his mouth. So let's not do that. First of all, let's be doers of the word. What does that mean? What does his name mean? Joshua Aaron. We'll be back on the other side. Goodness, welcome back, guys. I've done that too. I run ahead, go too slow. Like I said on other programs, fall down, skin my knees, get back up, try it again. Hopefully with a new outlook, a new perception, and a better heart when I'm trying to do it the next time. Am I right? So, folks, that's what I wanted to share with you. That is Joshua Aaron. You can find his music on YouTube, iTunes, and everywhere else. And then it's more than likely it'll be removed sometime afterwards. I don't have explicit permission. We're asking for grace on it, and we're going to go ahead and let it stay there so that we can be blessed by it. I think that'll be all right with him. So, Yeshua is his name. Salvation is his name. Yeshua means salvation. Now, why is this important? Why is this such a big deal? Why do I focus on the language? And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit deals in puns. And I learned that little trick from my very beloved mentor, right? Dr. Chuck Missler, may he rest in peace. But the Holy Spirit deals in puns, and they're sweeter when you see them in the Hebrew. And the puns make the Torah sweet. They make them funny, make it laughable, make it aha moments. And so there's also a phrase that I learned from him that is Hebrew, and I've looked it up, and I love the phrase, and it's called a remez, and that means the X marks the spot. Dig here. There's something deeper. There's a truth to uncover. I've hidden it. Here's a clue. Huh? And Dr. Missler also showed us how to find some of the clues. So I love it. And here's one of the clues. Salvation is his name. And so what I'm going to challenge the listeners is over the weekend and over this week, after you listen to this broadcast or the podcast, because pod people, we love you too, to go back into the Tanakh and read the scriptures through and see where it is that the name salvation comes up, or the word salvation comes up. And I'm going to give you another program to do, a little tool to do a search that may make it a little easier. And that is the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer. And you can find that at scriptureforall.org. That's scripture number 4, all.org. I suggest using, my preference is the second version. It's all the way up to version 3. I like the second version because it has a concordant literal using a different text than the Vulgate, which is where the King James came from. So I like having all of those options. I can actually use both versions, but I prefer simply version 2 for that reason. And I can get the rest somewhere else. And this is the only place where I have found that particular translation. And years went into it with the folks on the program. It is a free program, download free of cost. If you feel so moved and you are able, go ahead and donate to them, because they do a lot of good work to bring the scriptures to us and an understanding. So we'll continue to build on the meaning and the texture and the richness of these words and of the language, because the Holy Spirit's very, very punny. I mean, it's just very punny. And as we go through the scriptures and have Holy Spirit guide us, there's some funny stuff in there. And we're going to go look for it because I think it's pretty golden. All right, a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the meat and taters of things, just to remind you guys, all of you who are listening, live listeners, you guys rock. And pod people, you know we love you too. And all of our chat room, our tree people out there, just a little reminder, make sure you vote this November 6th, which is in some places called a Red October. Well, you might want to look that up. I think I have those dates right. I could be wrong, but I think I do. Let's take a look at another time. Also, sponsorship and promotion, guys. If there's, you know, if you have a Christian-based business or a Christian-based message or promotion that you'd like to put forth, you know, go ahead and contact us. You can shoot me a letter at leandergrace@gmail.com and show me what you got, because we're ready to do some promotions and share some of the airtime and share some of the value of the broadcast. And also, as far as sponsorship goes, I want to remind you we are 100% listener supported, and for your support we are grateful. And if you're finding value in the broadcast or the podcast, feel free to drop a couple ducats in the buckets. We're using my business PayPal account of leandergrace@gmail.com. And until we get the rest set up with the website, that'll, if you just feel really the urgent need and you're able, that's the thing, guys. Don't give more than you're able, right? Because that's a fallacy. That's something, I'm not going to squish that, and widows might trust me. But of the abundance that you may have, and if you are so moved, there's no pressure here, right? Go ahead and feel free to shoot us some cashy money, because we are all about the business of the one thing, and we keep those who donate. Your confidentiality is guaranteed. I want to welcome you back to those who's joining us, to Patience of the Saints here on this Faithful Friday. And the NetStream Network, we continue to hold that space of peace, love, and grace. And we're talking about the Great Awakening. And we said at the beginning of the broadcast, it was on all levels and dimensions and all of these fancy words that we used. And it being, we used all those fancy words because it's the truth and it's fancy. It's a pretty fancy truth. And so why not say it the way it is? You know, and Ezekiel tells us. So what we're going to do is we're going to get into this. Remember, our question is who? Now we know who's the name. But what we haven't answered yet from all of our bullets here is who are the lost sheep? Who are the faithful remnant? What are the commandments and the covenant? Do we really need them? What's that about? We're going to break that down. We're going to unpeel that in detail for folks, because I think you'll find that things are easier than we've been led to believe. Not necessarily easier. Let me suck that word back up. Ooh. But it is not quite as complex or complicated as we might be led to believe. And of course, we'll be talking about the times and the seasons as well, just about the time we get to the holidays. So there we have our work cut out for it. We have a road plan, we have a road map, place to go, how to get there. And now back to Ezekiel 37, guys. Now we're dealing in prophets, and remember that when we're dealing with prophecy is pattern. It's not just a matter of foretelling, although that it does occur. And it's not just a matter of seeing these beautiful, infinite, depth-rich visions, although that does occur. But to understand the prophecy is the point. And to understand the prophecy, what we have to understand is the manner in which it's delivered. And the manner in which it's delivered, of course, is God-breathed, but it's also delivered in pattern. Prophecy is pattern. And so we're also going to endeavor on this program to find the patterns in the prophecies. Find where it's been promised and where it's been fulfilled, or where it's been promised, or where there's another witness to agree. And as we go through just a little bit about the prophecies pattern, as we go through, I want us to understand also that there were prophets who were contemporary of each other. And what do I mean by that? That means that Ezekiel the prophet and Daniel the prophet and Jeremiah the prophet, they were all there at the same time. And they were all there at the same point in history. But they spoke to different audiences, and they spoke for different reasons. But the pattern is the same. You say, well, yeah, Leander Gracie, I'll say in the name of the Lord, and that's not the pattern that I'm speaking of, although that's part of it. You know, you always introduce yourself and then sign the letter, am I right? And God does the same thing. So, but what I'm speaking of is that if we have this prophecy of a one stick, if we have a promise of a one stick, right? We got these, the Judah and Israel, and they get together and they become one and they're going to be in the land and yada, 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 right? If we're going to do this, we're going to look for another witness, see if somebody else saw the same thing. And we're also going to see where in the apostolic scriptures it has been fulfilled, or even in the other testament scriptures, in the apostolic scriptures it's been fulfilled, because a lot of Isaiah has already been fulfilled, right? A lot of it. That doesn't mean that some of the stuff that's been fulfilled that it's not good to see, because the pattern is the same. And this is what we have to realize. So we're going to be dealing with a lot with Revelation, not necessarily in the fire and brimstone and then the cups and the bowls and the trumpets and the this. Yeah, we'll get there. But we're not going to understand the trumpets and the bowls and the blasts and the plagues and the this and that unless we get this foundation first. And you know who it is that you're listening to when you're reading the Word and asking for Holy Spirit to help. Where's the source? Do you understand who it is that you've been told to or you've committed to worship? Do you really know him? Because we have to ask these questions, and the reason we have to ask these questions is because we're told in the scriptures that many shall say, Lord, Lord, but not all shall be saved. And I am so, so concerned about those who say, Lord, Lord, but they don't know who he is. And he will say, I know you did all of these things. You cast out demons in my name, you healed the sick, you used my name, but I don't know you. And it is my hope that by the end of this series that you'll be able to say, wow, and he'll be able to say, hi, it is good to meet you. But we have to get there to understand who it is that we're meeting, because God is holy. And so if we're going to meet him, we have to meet him in holiness. We have to meet him on his terms. There's not a bargain in that. There is no bargain in that. So prophecy is pattern. So the pattern is, what happened to get us to Ezekiel? Right? What happened to get us to Ezekiel is after David got the kingdoms together after the first time they split apart. Now we're talking about Judah in the south with a couple of other and his companions. And then we're talking about the northern kingdom. Now the northern kingdom has a couple of names. Alright, so the northern kingdom is also called Ephraim. The northern kingdom is also called Samaria. And all of the northern kingdom, though, basically according to a general understanding is there's Judah and then there's the lost tribes. So Judah and some Benjamin in there, you're right, and then there's all the lost tribes. We've got some Levites left over, but the lost tribes. Well, what did Jesus say he came for? What did Yeshua do? He said, I came for what? I came for the lost sheep of the children of Israel. He came to Jerusalem and he cried. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and you know, thou that killed the prophets and do this and do that and do that, I would that you would let me gather you together like a hen gather her chicks, but you would not. And so what did Jesus say? It pains me that blindness, because you did not know this your day, blindness has become in part. Blindness has come in part upon Israel. Of the day. Why? Because they didn't know the word. Why? We were told already, Yeshua said, you shut up the kingdom of heaven. They had already made the change from Torah to Talmud. Torah being God-breathed, Talmud being man-figured out. And it is no difference than the Christians having the scriptures and then some papacy guy trying to tell us something to change it. The human interpretation. So we have to think about these things. We have to think about where we're at when we started the scriptures. So where we're at in this is, you know, the northern kingdom. Okay, so what happened is, you know, we got back together. Everybody was cool. David got the kingdom, the north and the south together. And then after Solomon and Rehoboam, they got split apart. Right? And so they rent the kingdom in two. And then it was called the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Or it's called Samaria, and it was called Judah, because those who were Torah keepers went south, right? And those who were other decided to stay up and party like a rock star up in Samaria. So there you have that. So, you know, God divorced them, did all of that, sent them off, got carried off. But they kept Judah for a while, but Judah did get carried off into Babylon, and this is where we have these scriptures. Because in the middle of the captivity, Holy Spirit comes, message of God said, the word of the Lord comes. All of these things come together, you see. And spoke to Ezekiel these words and said, look, this is what I'm going to do. This is where you're at right now. And you know why we're here. So, because he read the scriptures. So he knew why we were at this moment in time. He said, but this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to look at another scripture too to see if it's backed up. So what we're looking for in this prophecy's pattern is Judah. Who is Judah? Judah has the rulership. He had the scepter until Messiah came. And that's how that fits in. Judah controlled, he had the scepter, the rulership, and it was granted all the way back in Egypt. When Jacob, or Israel, blessed him, he said, these are your assignments within the tribe, within the family. And Judah, being the fourthborn still, he got rulership. And then Joseph, the house of Joseph, the scripture says, I will take the stick of Joseph. Stick of Joseph. Who's Joseph? Joseph was the one who ruled over Egypt, right? His Pharaoh, actually, it's under Pharaoh. He was king of Egypt. He was already king. He's already reigned. Remember, prophecy is pattern. He has already reigned. So that went to Ephraim and Manasseh. And remember, Manasseh was the oldest, but he got the second blessing, and Ephraim was the youngest, and he got the first blessing. So, and they became the northern kingdom, or what called the kingdom of Israel. And later, perhaps, we can even refer to as, let's answer this question now, the lost sheep of the children of Israel. And he lost them when he divorced him in Amos, and we'll talk about that in another program. So the northern kingdom had become so corrupt, so polluted. Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, that God could not abide it anymore. And he says, I'm going to have to divorce you. What am I going to do? Right? Ephraim, how can I give you up? How can I let you go? And, of course, the converse of that, and this isn't necessarily, this is paraphrased, how can I keep you? And your sister Judah, she's following, but she has a stay because of a promise that I made to David. Oh, my goodness. And prophecy is still pattern. So Joseph's already ruled as a king, and his offspring then make up the northern kingdom. If we could transfer it in that type of corporate context. So we have the northern kingdom who was exiled and divorced. And then the scripture said, I will make you as the nations, Ephraim. I will make you as the nations. You will become as indistinguishable. You're going to take up their habits. No one's going to know who you are. You will become indistinguishable, but still you will become the seed of the sand. The sands of the, you know, you won't be able to count your seeds. You're going to be explosive. But you're going to be like the nations. You're going to be like the heathens. And that's what heathens translates to. If we get to the root of it, it's just the nations, those who weren't, right? The goyim. So as they became the nations, and as Yeshua came, HaMashiach Nagid, what it is he said? What is it that he said? Know you not that I came but for the lost sheep of the children of Israel? The lost sheep of the children of Israel. The nations. Ephraim and Manasseh. He came for the northern kingdom that was exiled and had moved out of the land. And where did they go? They went to Antioch. They went to Thessalonica. They went to Corinth. They went to, well, I guess rather than going down the list, where did Paul go? He went and taught to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. You know, when I was reading the scriptures when I was younger and I had a smaller understanding, right, a shallower understanding as much as my age group would allow and my life experience allowed, I didn't understand the nations thing, and I didn't understand why it is we didn't, you know, if the scriptures all say that we have Sabbath this Sunday, why we didn't keep Sabbath on Sunday, And I can never remember the preacher ever giving a good answer other than this is, you know, da 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 da. Well, Sunday worship started with the Vatican back in the 4th century. We'll talk about that on another broadcast, but I just wanted to put that out there. That keeping, you know, and we'll come to a point when we get to the last, when we start talking about the covenants and the commandments. We'll talk about that in depth. So all the evangelicals that are about to steam and blow their steam out their ears, just hold on to your shorts, okay? Hold on, put your belt on, grab it up, because we're going to ride through this, and it is going to be amazing. I was in awe when these things became revealed to me, and it is such a pleasure to be able to reveal them to you. But again, check my work. Check the map. Be of a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. So the northern kingdom, divorced, became as the nations, the lost sheep of the children of Israel. And at this point, what I want to bring in, and we have plenty of time to do it, at this point, what I want to bring in is, and I can't remember exactly what's in the chapter of John, but I do want to challenge folks, and I want to tell you that the first person that Yeshua revealed himself to was not a man. He had his disciples. He had some disciples already. But the first person that he revealed himself to was not a Jew, was not Judaic. It was not of Judah. The first person that Yeshua HaMashiach chose to reveal himself to, remembering that prophecy is pattern. The first person that our Savior chose to reveal himself to was the woman at the well, who was seeking for that water. Give me some of that water. That's what she said. He revealed himself to a Samaritan woman. Why? To fulfill the scriptures. Because know ye not that I came but for the lost sheep of the children of Israel. He came for his bride. The same well that the ancestors Jacob dug. The same well that Isaac and Rebekah, that the servant of Isaac found, or the servant of Abraham found wife found Rebekah for Isaac. The same well that the Samaritan woman found the Savior. Prophecy is pattern, and it proves the scriptures. And the scriptures are like a lion. If you set it loose, it will defend itself. The lost sheep, the children of Israel. I get passionate about this, folks. It's a beautiful story to me. And for those of you who are of Protestant Christian background, and especially if you're raised with Southern Baptist roots like me, I just say this. He left the 99 and went to find the one. And he fulfilled the scriptures with every step that he made when he was on the earth. It's beautiful. So that answers. The lost sheep of the children of Israel are those who are scattered among the nations to become as the nations. And then there's another scripture to understand, to figure out who it is that we are as believers and followers of Yeshua. He reminds us that my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. And so if you hear that voice of Holy Spirit, that tugging at your heart, that there's more to this, that there's something more to learn, then you might be as the nations. As a Samaritan woman at the well, looking for that living water. And it is this stuff that makes Torah sweet. It is this pattern in the prophecy that assures us that we're on the right path. Dig here. Dig right here for the truth. Connect the dots. Find that path And that path is in prophecy, and prophecy is pattern. And we will not pick up the pattern unless we pick up the scriptures. That's where we're going to learn it. We won't learn it on the Saturday nights. You're not necessarily going to learn it every day in church. I'm not telling you don't go to church, but I'm telling you that you need to have that devotion. It might be beneficial. Don't tell me. I'm going to suck up some of my words. But you might find it extremely beneficial to have a regular time with the scriptures. I choose Sabbath, where I get to dive in and be a part of that. And this program, it could be a launching point. And that's why we bring it to you. We got a few more minutes left on this side. So guys, I am going to go ahead and go forward with this. And I am going to bring it together, because I told you, remember, I told you that all the scriptures, we're going to prove them with witnesses. And so here's another promise. And we'll talk about more of the promise on the other end. But Isaiah himself in 11:11, it's Isaiah chapter 11. And this is going to be from the King James Version, because it flows better for me, because I am familiar with it. And in this, we also have some names and locations. And what I'm, the reason I'm, I want to especially bring this in is because, actually, you know what, we'll bring that on the other side of the break now that I see it. But I do want to share 11:13 with you. This is the promise. You know, if he's going to do this, if he's going to take the lost sheep, those who perhaps have been calling themselves Christian, those who perhaps have fallen away, and even those who are Judaical, those who are of Judaic upbringing and lineage, you're part of Israel too. But this is the lost sheep. And I'm going to say to those who are of Judaic upbringing, if you're feeling that tug, there's also a reason for that. We're going to go ahead and go to Joshua Aaron to explain that as well. I just love this man. I love what he brings forth in the spirit in his music. And it is a prayer. And it's a prayer for all. And it brings it home. Because remember also in the scriptures, we were told that, what did Jesus say? Because of the blindness, because of this, because of all of this. And finally he just, you know, puts up his hand and says, and because of this, you will not see me again until you cry, Lord, or blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Judeans. Those of Judaic lineage, we're waiting on them. That's what we're waiting on. We're waiting for the Judaic lineage to recognize Yeshua and call for him. And some of those of Judaic lineage have already seen. They've seen the pattern. They've seen the prophecy. They've seen it fulfilled. They see who it is. Because remember, one of the prophecies is, if he's fulfilled all the other prophecies, and God always keeps his promises, remember, one of the prophecies was, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Well, we just covered that. Judah has the scepter. He's the rulership. The scepter, the rulership, shall not depart from Judah until the coming of Hashem Nagi, until the coming of Yeshua, until the coming of salvation, until the coming of the one who's been prophesied. And I can just, you know, you can almost see it happening when Rome took rulership, the scepter, the right to say, yes, you can die, you know, the death penalty, right? The right to proclaim capital punishment, the ultimate rule. When that was removed, when the scepter was removed from rule, I could just see all the high priests rending their clothes, throwing up their hands. Ah, you know, the Torah's broken. And as my mentor says, what they didn't know is down the road in a little town called Bethlehem, Bethlehem Ephrata, the bread basket, Bethlehem Ephrata. No, you're not the least of the nations. That there was an occurrence occurring at the very moment of the proclamation. God keeps his promises. Prophecy is pattern. And he is precise. And I think that's pretty cool. Absolutely reliable. He's got a calendar. We'll talk about that when we get to times and season. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're talking about the patience of the saints. Those who keep the commandments of Yahweh Elohim and have the testimony of Yeshua. And hopefully what we can be bringing you through this series is the testimony of Yeshua. Because remember, it was on the road to Emmaus that stranger who was later revealed to himself to be Yeshua himself after the resurrection. He told himself everything about himself, starting from where? Moses. And up into the prophets. Now, the story starts before there, and we can point that out. But in Yeshua's words, he started showing them from the time of Moses until the time it was fulfilled. So, all we have is Torah. But we will not see his face again until we can pray hard enough and loud enough and long enough for our sisters who have Judaic lineage, who have been mistaught some things, just as we have been mistaught some things and will have to own our misteachings. But the prophecy that I want to speak about from Isaiah is Isaiah 11:13. It says, "The envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off." Ephraim shall not envy Judah. Oh, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. From this scripture alone, we can make the assumption or make the conclusion, the rational conclusion, the logical conclusion, that right now that there is envy and vexing going on between Ephraim, the northern kingdom, those who have been made as the nations, the goyim, the heathen, that there is vexing going on. But what the scripture assumes, and it's the assumption of the scripture from the point that what we started, that there is envy among Ephraim. And there's only one other player mentioned in this picture, and that's Judah. And so I asked the question going into the break, Ephraim, do we envy Judah? Can we be honest about that? Because we are not first. That's just the way it is according to the scriptures. And I know I got some evangelical fire burning and steam horning because there is no Jew, no Christian, no nations, no this. Yes, but first we have to understand how the prophecies apply. And then when we get to that point, we can accept that premise. But there's a history that we left out that we could learn from. And hopefully, we'll be able to do that. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to go ahead and slide on into the break with another little doozy from Joshua Aaron. This is Hosanna. 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 This is what we're supposed to cry. And I love the passion in his voice. Now, folks, this is going to be a little bit of an extended break because the whole song has power. And on this particular program, I think that we should bring the power of the Holy Spirit with us everywhere we go. So here we have that. We'll be back on the other side after this. We will pay a little bit of a public service announcement for Veterans for Child Rescue. We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break, too. And then we'll bring it back to the conclusion. We'll open up the phone lines as well. For those of you who want to join in on the conversation, feel free to call in. That call-in number is 516-453-9961. Again, that's 516-453-9961. You can call in, and when you're holding in the queue, understand there'll be a little bit of a delay, so if you don't want feedback, go ahead and mute whatever it is that you're listening on the other side. And if you do want to speak to the host on air, that'd be me, Leander Grace. If you do want to speak to the host, go ahead and push the number 1, and that'll put a little signal on the panel that I'm seeing when you come up, and that'll let me know that you want to talk rather than just hang out in the queue and listen. So there you have that. This is Joshua Aaron, Hosanna. Oh, I just love it. The bride sings for the nation, for her salvation. Listen to the words, understanding the Holy Spirit works in puns, and prophecy is pattern.
My life. afraid. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid, Lord? Of whom shall I be afraid? Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, my salvation, whom shall I be afraid?
The children need our help. The children are depending on us. 46 children a day are sold into slavery in the United States. That's almost 17,000 per year sold into child sex trafficking. Children need our help now. Veterans for Child Rescue, V4CR, is a nonprofit 501c3 organization founded by veteran Navy SEAL Craig Salman Sawyer. There is one mission, a singular goal, to eliminate domestic minor sex trafficking. Along with their investigative Viper teams, V4CR coordinates with local law enforcement and NGOs to rescue children that are being exploited. They help to procure the arrests of predators and put them behind bars. Seeking to empower the communities and families, Veterans for Child Rescue provides education and outreach programs in communities across the country through schools, churches, and civic groups. It's time to raise awareness about this epidemic destroying our children's souls. Children need our help now. Children are depending on us. For their sake, we must act. Join the fight and visit the website. Donate, sign up, or be a volunteer. End trafficking now with Veterans for Child Rescue. If you or someone you know is being assaulted, help is available. Please call 911, the National Trafficking Hotline, at 888-373-7888 or text HELP to 233-733. That's HELP to 233-733. If you see something suspicious, always report it. You could be saving someone's life. Isn't that the truth? My goodness, guys, I've gone too slow, gone too fast. I think we're paced just right for this program this night on this episode. Welcome back. I am your host, Leandra Grace. We are on the last leg here, on the last segment, the last 30-minute segment. Phone lines are open for those who want to call in. We'll check here in just a minute on the studio. But we're going to have to heal this. We're going to have to bring some of this weight down. But here's the good news. Here's some of the revelation of the mystery. A mystery that was hidden in the prophecy of the prophets all this time. And we have it before us now to find out who we are. We can let a lot of different people label us as a group corporately as Christians, and then we'll have to own the lineage. And as I trace back the lineage, it's not a lineage that I want to own. The affiliations that those who call themselves Christians now have, I don't want to have. And although there is a great big push right now in within the spiritual Christian / whatever denomination, religion you want to put, environment, to have a great big unity movement, unity and apostasy is still apostasy. Unity and apostasy is still apostasy. And where we're at right now, the church is in apostasy. It's fallen away. As we said last week, there's witchcraft in the church. There's all kinds of stuff in the church that's not about the gospel of Christ, about the one thing. It is the work of the one thing that we're called to do. And because of, let me put it this, my drive for this program is because of the holes that I had in my faith picture, and I needed to fill them up. And as I started on that search with Holy Spirit as my guide, the wonders that I found, and that's the only thing, is it takes me by storm, by an awesome storm every time. Are amazing. And folks, I want to tell you, I have a little bit of a tickle coming up, and I don't want to get my cough on air, so I'm going to play just about 40 seconds of music. I'll be right back.
Now I'll walk a different road.
my goodness, guys, it is this time, and it was time for a little bit of a dry cough, a little tickle in my throat there. We're going to go ahead and push through, understand that there may be a little bit of a catch in my voice, but I don't want to waste any more time on the cough. We'll just ask the Holy Spirit to bring a little blessing on it, see if we can't have it abate on its own. So we're talking about the envy of the Christians to the Jews. Let me just put it out there. We're going to stop beating around the bush and painting the picture. We're going to go to the black and white version. There's a huge envy among the Christians about the Jews. And we may not be aware of it, but by the very lessons that we teach in our churches, whether it's replacement theology, Jews had a chance, they blew it. Every time that comes out of somebody's mouth, I know they haven't read the scriptures. Absolutely false. There's another prejudice. There is some of the prejudice, you know, the Zionist movement and this and that. And that's something we'll get on with another program. Because remember, there are always those who say they are Jews and are not. That is scriptural. All the way back in Revelation, why are we starting in the back of the book? Well, my mentor pointed out so eloquently, if you start in the back of the book, you're going to have to keep looking in the front of the book to understand it. And that's the way we're going to do it. Because, you know, the evangelical bring is the back of the book, the back of the book. Well, there ain't anything in the back of the book, ain't in the front. It's just the way it is. Only one is fulfilled. So, that's where we're going. But I want to get back in with the topic where we're at. And I got stumbled up a little bit. Because when we went to the break, we said, you know, Christ will not return. HaMashiach Nagi will not return until Judah corporately calls for the return. So we're praying for their awakening. But now we move on to the next question is, if that's the truth and if all these things were scattered and all this, why, when Paul went out, and we're talking about being of a Berean mind, listening with all readiness of mind, but searching the scriptures daily, why would they, if he went all the way out to Antioch and Thessalonica and Berea and all these places, he wasn't in Judah, he wasn't talking to Jews, he wouldn't talk to those of Judaic lineage, of Judah's lineage. So why were they so willing to listen with all readiness of mind and search the Tanakh? And where did they get the Tanakh? Because who Paul went to teach were the lost sheep of the children of Israel. It's all about the children of Israel. Now you say, Land Grace, you say that the world revolves around Israel? Well, I'm not talking about necessarily the state Israel. That is a different corporate entity than what I'm speaking of now. Because the Northern Kingdom, as far as we know, is not there. And he said he's going to bring everybody back and make them one stick. So we're close. But I don't think we have cigars yet. I just don't think we do. We might. We're close. But the Northern Kingdom, they don't even know who they are. So how will they know to return? And if we're in the Northern Kingdom, and if we are the children of Israel, those who call yourself Christian, we are adopted. We are grafted in it. As we said last week, we shouldn't be boasting ourselves against the natural branches and be full of our own self-conceits. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. So what is this big sheep, big thing about the lost sheep? What's this big sheep over here in the house of Israel? Right? What's this big lost sheep doing over there? We've got our one stick promise. We have the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let's go back to our original verse. Let's go back to that one. I love it. In Ezekiel 37. He's going to take a stick, a branch, tree. He's going to ride upon it for Judah. And the children of Israel, his companions. And so they were told, he's already got some children of Israel companions right there. And then that would be Benjamin and some of the Levites and the stuff that stayed behind in the south because they wanted to, you know, they didn't go off with the Northern Kingdom and do all kinds of stuff. And he says, we're going to take another stick and ride on it for Joseph. The stick of Ephraim. Oh. Now with Judah, it's for Judah and the children of Israel, his companions. and take another stick of right upon it for Joseph, which is the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Not in any of these does it say the house of Gentiles. It does not say the house of Christians. It does not say one global thingy. Eventually we'll get there, but all we have is this Torah. That's what we've got. And what it says is those who are of the lost sheep, if we can go there, because the Ephraim are the lost sheep. So we got for Joseph the stick of Ephraim, the stick of the lost sheep, and for the house of Israel, his companions. So we have the stick of Judah and the stick of the lost sheep. The stick of the north, the stick of the south. And he's going to put them together. And he's going to make them one. And Isaiah reminds us that no matter what it looks like right now, the envy of Ephraim will leave and Judah will not vex Ephraim. And is Judah vexing Ephraim? Yes, Judah is vexing Ephraim. And Judah's going to have to stop. And I'm going to leave that part right there before I start speaking above my own pay grade. There you go, guys. That's a little bit. I got to pull some back. I get a little heated sometimes because there is a difference between Judah and what we know today as the Jews. And it's not a truth that we may want to look at. But we have to understand the scriptures tell us to beware of those who say they are Jews and are not. What could that mean? And I'm going to tell you that we know now. And we've talked about it on Mega Monday. Unfortunately, that portion of the program did not record. We're going to catch it again on next Monday night. But who are these Jews that say they are Jews and are not? We're going to uncover that. Not for the sake of shame, but so Judah can see who is not. Because I have a lot of friends from the lineage of Judah that are unaware of the wolves in the sheep's clothing that are in their midst. They are unaware of those who say they are Jews and are not, that have the last name and pretend the practices, but are not. And it is those Jews who say, those people who say they are Jews and are not, that are the most risk to our sister Judah. And I speak to Ephraim now. We must pray for Judah. We must. We are told to. And if we want to be one stick, we have to give up our envy and understand that according to the scriptures, and they are true, Judah reigns over all of the children of Israel. And if you claim adoption, we claim adoption with the natural branches, into the natural branches. We're wild olive trees. We don't know who we are. The scriptures tell us we don't know who we are. We're Ephraim. We are Joseph. We are the northern kingdom. We're the lost sheep of the children of Israel. And we have been in strife with our family for a very long time. So Ephraim must pray for Judah. And I challenge those who are listening to my voice, who claim they follow Yeshua, who claim they know HaMashiach Nagin. If you say you know Jesus and you're crying about the Jews, you don't know who he is. He was a Jewish carpenter, had a Jewish mother. And that will never change. That will never change. Joseph has already ruled. The first should be last, and the last should be first. Let's go ahead and take a small preview, guys. We're going to leave all that right there. I think we brought it to a close. I think we've said enough about all of that. My heart is pumping, and my soul is burning right now. I love the word of the Lord. So a small preview of what we're going to be doing looking ahead, guys. We've already talked about the remnant of Israel, the lost sheep of the children of Israel, the remnant. The faithful remnant will come into that as well. We're going to jump right back into the back of the book, and we're going to take a look at Revelation 12:17 and find out what these means, because it says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to fight with the remnant of her seed." Who is the remnant of her seed? And who is the woman? Well, we know the woman is Israel, right? Went to fight with the woman and the children of her seed. Went to fight with all of Israel, the bride of Yahweh. And he went to fight with the children, with the remnant of her seed. And then it goes on to explain who those people are, who that remnant is. Those guarding the commands of Yahweh Elohim and possessing the witness of Messiah. So if we might understand it in a smaller amount of words, the dragon's going to war with the Nazarene, with Ephraim. That's what's happening now. That's what's going on now. Because we don't fight against flesh and blood, but those principalities and rulers of the air, of the darkness. That's where the fight is. And their soldiers may use people against us, but the people are not what we're fighting against. And the best armor that I know is the full armor of God. And the best weapon that I know is the sword of truth. And the best action that I know how to take is to get on my knees and pray. Because that is more powerful than any action that we can take. Get Holy Spirit in the battle. He waits to be invited. He waits to be invited. When we look at the complete Jewish Bible, folks, it says the dragon was infuriated over the woman. Ooh, infuriated over the woman. The whole concept of her, the whole concept of Israel. He just got mad and went off to fight with the rest of her children. And who are those? Those who obey God's commands and bear witness to Yeshua. Those who are Nazarim. Those who guard Torah and have the witness of Messiah. That doesn't mean I witnessed seeing him, but I have his witness right here. And these are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. And the dragon is making war, whether we know it or not. And if we don't know who the enemy is, it'll be by surprise. And if we're not where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be, keeping the times and the seasons and the calendar of God, we're going to get a surprise. Because the harlot is in the house and the thief is at the door, and you know not what time the Son of Man will come. We're not in darkness, so that should catch us unawares, but we don't know the exact day. We should recognize the times and the seasons. We're challenged at in the scripture by Yeshua himself. Lest we fall like Judah did when he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, but you did not know this your day." And we know that the dragon will make war with the remnant of the seed until when? Until HaMashiach Nagid returns. And that will not happen until Judah corporately calls for the Savior to return, recognizing the first time, call for the return, and the only way it's going to happen is if Ephraim prays. So it comes back to us. It always comes back to our own responsibility, no matter how you slice it. The victory's won. It's already there. That is a guarantee. We got it in Scripture. God wins. But we have to show up. And we need to know who we're fighting against. We need to know who we're fighting with. We need to know what we're fighting. We need to know how. And why wouldn't hurt to know. And the end result would be really good and skippy to think about. And that's why we're doing these broadcasts. To fill in some of the holes that may still be there. And why it is the church stands in confusion and apostasy with over 20 to 40,000. We don't even know how many anymore. We've lost count. Different denominations claiming the name Christian. That's chaos. That's confusion. That cannot be of God. Not in any way. It is everybody doing their own things. And that's why the prophets were awakened. To tell Israel. To tell Judah. And they wrote it down for us. They wrote it down. And because of all the translations, we may need to do a little digging, but it is our responsibility to do the digging and to be hungry and filled at the same time. It has been an evening, folks. We've got some more emergency vehicles firing up in the neighborhood, and we left that up with Holy Spirit as the guide. So that's who we are. That's where we belong. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's a one-stick prophecy guaranteeing that eventually we're going to get over our damned selves and embrace our own lineage of Judah. The same Hebraic lineage of the children of Israel. And if we cannot get over our own self-conceits that we think we have the answer because nobody else could possibly, when we think we have the answers, we stop learning. And when we stop learning, we stop growing. When we stop growing, we cannot reach the heights. We must seek him. And we find him in the scriptures. You find him in the scriptures. Research what you hear tonight, facts. We're coming to the end of the line here. I hope this broadcast has been some form of a blessing for you. I know it has been for me. And again, with the Berean mind, don't take my word for it. Research what you hear. Gather your own data. Draw your own conclusions. Own your own experience. Develop the Berean mind and a seeker's heart, because we must seek him. Until next week, folks, Monday on Mega Monday, Wednesday's Holistic Truth. I invite you back again also for this, Patience of the Saints. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we've been broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leanna Grace, reminding you to watch for signposts. Connect these dots. Find that path. Live in love. And do what you need to do to forgive. And awake that sleeping commitment. Good night.
With McDonald's $3 daily deals, you can save big at breakfast every day with a different entree and your choice of coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea 7 days a week. Get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit on Monday, bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles on Wednesday, and Friday, an egg McMuffin made with a fresh cracked egg. Add your choice of coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea, all for just $3, and make your morning routine a little better. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. With McDonald's $3 daily deals, you can save big at breakfast every day with a different entree and your choice of coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea 7 days a week. Get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit on Monday, bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles on Wednesday, and Friday, an egg McMuffin made with a fresh cracked egg. Add your choice of coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea, all for just $3, and make your morning routine a little better. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.